answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We had a record historic year with deportations, but now we got 10,000 more agents on board, or it should be on board by the end of next month. Wait till next year.
Yeah, just wait until next year. That is Border Czar Tom Holman saying, look, we've got 10,000 more agents available now to help track down the illegals in our country, and we're going to get more. Just wait till next year. Well, of course, what you're hearing from the whacked out left radicals who want illegal migrants running all around our nation, possibly creating not just chaos but crime and death. They don't like hearing that. And what they continue to do is push for more illegal migrants to be able to stay. Well, the other day, the Supreme Court issued a ruling that is putting a lot of pressure on Syrians and Haitians in particular. The Supreme Court ruling was basically that it was going to take away deportation protection for Haitians and Syrians. Well, New York City Mayor Mondami, one of the socialist, communist, Marxists that are now trying to take control of our nation, was quick to point out to a crowd that loved what he had to say, this is not something we will ever accept. We will ever accept. He's going to put himself and his city away from a Supreme Court ruling allowing the president to strip deportation protection for temporary migrants under the Haitian and Syrian plan. Temporary means temporary. Mondami, in a statement, said to have people who frankly taught the world about freedom have their own freedom put into jeopardy by the actions of a Supreme Court and judicial and federal administration is not only cruel, it's not something we will ever accept. The ruling on a 6-3, the High Court said the temporary protected status does not allow for judicial review. Lower courts cannot intervene in the Trump administration decision to remove deportation protections for more than 6,000 Syrians and 350,000 Haitians living in the U.S. Well, immediately, New York Governor Hochul also joined in, and New York Attorney General Letitia James denounced the decision and rallied with the immigration advocates. Illegal, I should point out. And reminding you that some were brought in under a temporary status. What is it about temporary they don't understand? Here's what they don't understand. Nothing. They don't understand nothing. Because what they want is more illegals in our country to basically rig elections. No doubt about it. And in the blue cities and blue states, they're allowing them to vote. Oh, Larry, it's just a school election. What the dick? Really? And from there, it becomes another election, and then another election. And pretty soon, illegals in our country, who are not citizens of our country, and they're citizen of that city only if they register and are paying taxes, they're making decisions that affect you and your children in particular. This is not anti-immigrant. Our nation was built on immigration. But to quote even Obama and Bill and Hillary Clinton, we are a nation of immigrants, but we are a nation of laws. That's why every time you see and hear a report by the legacy media, they just throw out the term immigrants as if that uncovers everyone. No, it does not. It covers immigrants who are here legally. It does not cover those who are here illegally, except by their definition. Statement from Mondami, this decision will cause enormous pain across the five boroughs. Here in New York, it falls hardest on our Haitian community, one of the largest in the country, alongside the Syrian families. Well, that means he's looking at pandering to votes. Now, do I want families ripped apart because they've been here under temporary status for a period of time and it just continued to play out because the Biden administration, even the Obama administration, was not really enforcing immigration laws? I do not want families ripped apart. But in many cases, they've had a lot of time to actually make a decision to change their lives, and they have not done it. I'll get into that in more details in a moment with you. First of all, welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are on June 29, and reminding you, we're on the air Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, you can watch the program. We are streaming it live. You can watch while we're on the air and watch the program and watch me go berserk and pulling my hair out. Well, I can't do that anymore. Forget that part. I can set it on fire. No, there's no hair to set on fire either. Basically, just watch me. Easy to do. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble, Larry Connors USA Facebook. And if you miss anything, be it video and or the audio portion of that program, you can always pull it up at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, or any podcast outlet you want to go to, we will be there. I have folks all the time say, how's the podcast doing? Well, first of all, you wouldn't be asking me if you're listening. Let me put it to you that way. Oh, I get back in their face. I do. If you're listening, you know it's going great. As I've said before, and I'll repeat again, there are days I hit grand slams, a lot of grand slams. Some days only a single. I walk away and I felt like I did not do that program the way I had it in mind, and I fell short of my mark. But I never strike out. But they're always available for you to pull up and listen to later or watch and then push share. You are a multiplying factor. Send it on to others. Because with Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You leave each hour with more knowledge than you do as you begin that hour. That's my promise to you. And I want you to hold me to it. Later in this hour, earlier this morning on the Mike Ferguson Morning Show, he had Elliot Davis. For years, Elliot Davis, a fixture on Fox News, Channel 2, doing the feature You Paid For It was a big thing, but he also did other things. Now he's kind of working as an independent journalist with some stuff he's doing. And Mike had him on reference to some of Elliot's comments recently about policing inside St. Louis city limits and also reference what took place in downtown St. Louis over the weekend. Are you aware of this? They were having a soccer game, and of course it was a baseball game downtown. But shots were heard near the soccer stadium, which is several blocks from the baseball stadium. And it was close enough that folks were basically told to shelter in place. In fact, staff members working the game, one of them is the daughter of one of our employees, was told, get in the closet, stay in the closet until we tell you it's time to come out. The game got delayed for a while. No one in the stadium was hurt. No shots apparently were even aimed at the stadium. But once shooting starts, you never know where it's going to go. Suspects have been arrested, and one of them, charged, had an ankle bracelet on. He's already facing charges. I guess he was clearly within the confines of where he's supposed to be, I assume. And at the same time, toting a gun, which he shouldn't have been doing, and then using it to fire and shoot at people. Now, I don't know who started it, and I don't know who ended it, but either way, it was not good publicity for the St. Louis downtown area. If folks are afraid to come downtown, we are going to have a crater as if we are not already having it happen in the downtown area. This station used to be downtown in Union Station. And then we decided, now, we're going to get out of downtown. So we moved out to the Westport area, as did Channel 4 TV, which used to be downtown. And Channel 2 had made this decision out of the, were inside St. Louis city limits, but on the outer skirts near the Forest Park, they moved farther west, as has now Channel 5. I mean, who wants to go down there right now? And of course, that means businesses, restaurants, it's a loss. When I came here in the 70s, downtown was the place to be. And I remember hearing and being told the distinction between St. Louis City and St. Louis County. Years ago, they separated. And that's because St. Louis City residents were being told, you know, you can annex St. Louis County and make it part of your area. But they thought, no, no, no. We don't want those rural people, those people out of the sticks, because we'll be saddled with trying to provide roads and so forth for them. So we don't want to be part of it. We'll be an entity to ourselves, St. Louis City. And now the situation's reversed. They would love to be inside St. Louis County sharing some of the taxes and expenditures. All that for another day's discussion. Back to the issue of the Supreme Court saying basically, if you're here on a temporary status, the Department of Homeland Security, Border Patrol, Immigration and Customs can remove you. Well, DHS Secretary was talking about the Haitians in particular.
Temporary protective status was never intended to be permanent. And there's a lot of people that came over here 15, 20 years ago underneath TPS that's already changed their status. The whole time these individuals have been here underneath the temporary protective status, they could have applied for a visa. They could have applied for LPR. They could have applied for different directions. But the status itself can be ended in its name itself by saying temporary. So these individuals, they have a couple of choices. They can try to apply for a permanent residence here. They can apply for a temporary visa if they choose to, or they can choose to go back. And if they want to go back, we'll help them with that. If I'm talking directly to the individual with the temporary protective status, either try to fill out the paperwork and be here underneath a permanent status, or we'll help you get back to your country. We'll actually give you a plane ticket plus roughly $2,100 to help you reestablish when you get there. But temporary protective status, according to the courts and in its name itself, is not permanent status.
It's not. As simple as that. And they did not take advantage of the time they've been here to get around to making an effort to naturalize themselves as an American citizen. MS Now, reporter was talking about, look at what's going to happen in Springfield, Ohio.
The over 10,000 Haitians living here in Springfield, Ohio, are facing an impossible decision between returning to Haiti, where the political and economic crises have only gotten worse in recent years, a country that is essentially run by gangs. And the Haitians here tell me that returning to Haiti, they will be going back to that country with a target on their back, that these gang members seek out Haitians coming from the United States of America under the assumption that they have money that they can take from these people, or they can stay here in the United States without any legal status anymore, living a life on the margins, living a life in the shadows, afraid to go outside to buy groceries, to take their children to school. That is the difficult decision the Haitians here in Springfield are facing.
Now, believe me, I don't take that lightly. And what he's saying, even though it's slanted to the point he wants to make, I will accept some of those points. I have no doubt that they would face fear and trouble if they were returned to Haiti. It is a dangerous place. That's why they came here originally, for temporary protected status. But they never in all that time decided to make an effort to go the extra step. And you know, I've talked about the lack of respect for our nation. And you see it so evident when you watch the other nations appearing in the World Cup soccer event. When their national anthem is being played, each of the other nations, their players stand with their hand over their heart, bellowing their national anthem. That's the way they look at showing their support for their nation. But then you listen to U.S. Congressman Omar Elan.
It is appalling for our colleagues on the other side of the aisle to be okay for the president to carry out retribution here in Minnesota. It is appalling for our Republican colleagues to be okay for there to be cell detentions in ICE for American citizens. It is appalling for them to be okay for there to be checkpoints in American cities where people are asked for their papers. And it is appalling for Americans to have to carry their citizen papers only to be told they are not sure if those papers are correct. I don't want to curse, but those of us who escaped places like that, the one place where we thought we would never experience this is the U.S. goddamn states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you did curse. And I don't like the way you applied the GD either. I don't want to point something out to you. She stands out there and makes all these proclamations and statements. But when she is asked questions about the growing influence of the socialist movement, especially after three candidates backed by New York City mayor dominated the primary elections, you know what she's doing? She's dodging the questions. She was asked about, what do you think about the growing influence? And she just kind of ignored the questions about the New York primary, ignoring them. House Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, yep, she's still in office until the end of this term. She said, well, I reject socialism as an economic system. She did that back in 2019 with CBS 60 Minutes. And in that interview, she said, if people have that view, socialist view, that's their view. It's not the view of the Democrat Party. Well, looky, looky. I think it is the view of the Democrat Party right now, because Democrats that are mainstream will not denounce socialist Marxists inside their ranks. They will not call them out. They will not call for stopping the violence and the attacks upon members of our federal government from the president down. So if they're not going to do that, if they're not going to stand up for our nation at any point, they want to give it away. And here you got Ilhan Omar saying, well, we don't want to be checked for papers everywhere. Do you know what they do in Marxist and socialist countries? That's exactly what they do. And where are you asked for your ID or who you are and that what you do, except when you go to vote? The interview with Elliot Davis on the Mike Ferguson Show this morning coming up. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beall Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I worked for several years with Elliot Davis when I was at Channel 2. Always considered him an outstanding journalist in the efforts. And, of course, then he had that program caption, You Paid For It, which made a name for himself and did a good job of that. We didn't socialize a whole lot just because our hours at work and off varied. But I have respect for Elliot, and today I heard that he was on the Mike Ferguson show this morning. And of course, Elliot spent years at Channel 2, now working as an independent journalist. Mike had him on to talk about what's going on in the city with police work and those who appreciate it and those who are working against it. The need and want of police versus the reality.
The police want to maintain public safety. They want to make sure the streets are safe. They want to get St. Louis away from being one of the most dangerous cities in the United States. But the elected officials who are progressives just, police are just not their favorite. I mean, it is, and it's amazing when you look at a city that has these crime problems. One thing was really significant for me last week, and that was when I interviewed the city's third ranking elected official, that's the president of the Board of Aldermen, who freely admitted that she was a Democratic socialist who wants to defund the police. Mm-hmm. I didn't know she was a socialist, but we had never, talked about it that directly. And most people we had asked that question, they denied, wanting to defund the police. I had some other aldermen who did, but the head of the Board of Aldermen says, well, we'll do better without giving all the money to police, and we need to take the money from police and put it in like our violence prevention programs or put it into other stuff. Well, and this is a political philosophy. This is not just her fly-by-night idea, even though it's not a good idea, but this is what she really wants to do, and she's in step with, I guess, Mamdani in New York, mayor of New York, and the rest of the socialists who police are not at the top of their list. And so when you got people that want to defund the police, and they tell you upright, they tell you up front, that's what they want to do, well, then there's a problem. Obviously, there's no room for maneuver when you're trying to negotiate police, and this is the third-ranking city official. As for what Mayor Spencer is doing, that's obviously on a kind of a different level, not as serious as the board president, but just to show you the level of dislike for the police, he did have a news conference on public safety for Pride, didn't invite police. I, of course, asked those questions, why was that? But And then she disagreed with police on public safety. That's usually not done. Most of the time, public officials will seek out police to get advice on public safety. Police wanted a curfew downtown, and for whatever reason, the mayor decided that she wouldn't do it. And I just could not understand that reasoning at all. I know the mayor was battling the police over budget issues, but certainly not over issues of public safety. But that's what's happening. So they're fighting on every front. And so now you see why there was a state takeover. You see why the folks in Jefferson City, the governor, and the legislature decided that they wanted to take over the St. Louis Police Force. There are lawsuits by the mayor and the board of Alderman President against the police board and against the state over the budget and the state takeover. The mayor is suing the police. The board president suing the police, basically, over these issues. And so obviously it's gotten to really a pretty bad state of affairs. Anyway, I was saying that's why the state takeover and the city officials want to get their hands back on the police. Well, now, more than ever, I think people are beginning to people really do understand what was on the governor's mind when he led the effort to take over the police department. He knew that there was some defund the police folks in the Board of Aldermen. The mayor at the time was hinting at she was in step with the previous mayor was in step with the defund police. Kara Spencer was on the Board of Aldermen at the time, and aldermen seemed like they were leaning towards defund the police, but Kara never said anything opposed to it. And now we find out that the Board of Aldermen president, a acknowledged Democratic socialist who is absolutely, and I did this post on my website, on my Facebook page with the interview with her, and people can read it on LA Davis TV, where she freely admits that she wants to defund the police, and she gives her reasons why.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to say we've got budget concerns, we don't like how this is being done. That's what elected officials do here. But the reality is that the defund the police movement has been doing so in the city, and it seems to me, Elliot, the bill is now due, and Kara Spencer's in a bad spot because the bill has come due. You have to fund that. I don't know that there's anybody in the city who disagrees with the fact that crime and public safety and violence is the number one thing draining the city of its economic and population life.
You wouldn't know that by talking to officials. They took $1 million out of the police budget to spend on firefighters. So when we say defund the police, that's pretty active. It's not just a pie in the sky thought. It's not just a philosophical thought. And when the mayor in her State of the City address never once mentioned crime in the city. Mm-hmm. And that was the state of the city to talk about the biggest problems in the city and what she had done to deal with those problems. No mention of crime. Crime is the number one issue with the residents, but city officials want to talk about kind of everything else but crime. They don't really want to talk about it. You never hear, and I say this all the time, when there's a horrendous crime happening, like the young lady who was gunned down in the Starbucks drive-thru just getting a cup of coffee. I think she was a skate instructor in ice skating. But when she was gunned down ruthlessly in a robbery right at Starbucks, there was no news conference by officials decrying that action. There was no news conference saying, hey, look, our hearts are with these families and we need severe punishment for these officials. You didn't see anything with the mayor, the comptroller, the board of aldermen, with all the city officials getting together to express outrage. You heard nothing like that. But when criminals, and I'm going to be nice this morning. I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to go off the rails. But I have to make this last point. When something happens and officials perceive that there's a violation of the criminals' rights, they come out of the woodwork to talk. To get in front of the cameras, to talk about how outrageous it is, how sad it is, how tragic it is. So they will do that for the criminals, not for the law-abiding citizens.
We're visiting with Elliot Davis, obviously legendary reporter, journalist here in St. Louis. And speaking of those crimes and the things that at some point they just can't run from, obviously tragedies all over the city. I don't know in the 30 years or so I've been doing this, Elliot, that I've covered a story as absolutely heartbreaking. As a 7-month-old girl, police say was shot and killed by a 10-year-old boy who is now apparently the youngest murder defendant in the history of the state of Missouri, and a 19-year-old father now charged with multiple crimes for allowing this to happen in the home. And there was another boy there. And then you coupled that on top of the soccer stadium at a secondary soccer match that was happening. The game is paused. Players are rushed off the field. Fans are told to shelter in place because there was gunfire about 2 blocks away from that. So these are things, these are headlines, these are news that at some point they can run, but they have to address at some point.
They are not addressing it. They're sticking their heads in the sand. And not just this administration and Kara Spencer, the last administration with Tashara Jones, information, the administration before that with Lyda Crewson, and before that with Francis Slay was in for 16 years. He really didn't do a lot to deal with crime. And I did reports. I was a reporter with Fox 2 News at the time, and I did reports on the lack of action by St. Louis. I went all the way to Buffalo, actually, doing stories on how they were addressing crime and how they were working to bring down the homicide. And they actually had. I think Buffalo had like 27 homicides last year. St. Louis had 140. But you look at this 10-year-old, the situation with the 10-year-old who killed, who police say killed the a 7-month-old, obviously a tragic case. The law was changed that made it so they can't try a 10-year-old as an adult. I think a 12-year-old, I think, is the limit here. So the 10-year-old can't be tried as an adult. That law was changed in 2024. Maybe they need to change it back so that you can charge a 10-year-old. Police say, obviously, police are not saying this was an accident. Police are saying that, obviously, they believe that this was intentional, which is why this youth, this child, was charged under the juvenile code. So it's not like somebody got a gun, accidentally, you know, fired off the gun, and it was just a tragic accident. No, they say this was murder.
That's Elliot Davis on the Mike Ferguson Show this morning, making some very solid points. And I will stress again about how the child got this weapon. Obviously, it was probably a semi-automatic, and it was already chambered. Most 10, even 12-year-olds could not chamber a weapon and put a bullet into the chamber. But the adults, supposedly, leaving it already chambered under a pillow where a child could reach it. Tragic all the way around.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every turn. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie. And I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's been a really incredible 18 months. You know, the 19 new trade deals, agriculture has been at the top. We inherited a $50 billion ag deficit after not one new trade deal under Joe Biden. But how he is managing this and how the teams are working together across the Trump administration, the Trump cabinet, is our great farmers, we're ready to ship. The minute there is an order that is put in, the wheat goes, the soybean go, the corn goes. I mean, it all begins to go. So we're ready and standing by. We're expecting some of record-breaking exports this year, not just with Iran, but really across the world. The numbers are amazing. Corn way up, ethanol way up, wheat way up, soybeans way up, et cetera. So we're ready.
That is our Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins pointing out 19 new trade deals, ag deals at the top, and pointing out that we had a $50 billion ag deficit. Because there was not one new trade deal under the Joe Biden administration. No sense bothering Joe about it. He probably didn't even know what it was. But this is what's being done for America. You don't like Trump? Fine. But look at what's happening for America while he's in office. He's not a Hitler. He's not creating fascism. Don't buy into all these lies. I don't care if you really hate the man. And see, here's where I have a difference with you if you do hate Trump. I didn't like Biden nor Obama. Their policies I hated, but I didn't hate the men individually. I thought they were bad for our nation. Actually, I thought Obama could be good for the nation when he was elected the second time because I thought all the division he caused in his first term, he now could come back as a statesman because he could no longer run again for office like Trump can have another 4 years. I led you down that track, didn't I? Never mind. No, Trump cannot have another term. But I thought Obama could use his second term and help heal the nation. My bad. I was wrong. He just was determined to continue to chip away at it. We have in our nation a lot of nonprofit organizations. Now, when you're told nonprofit, you're given a nonprofit status, I mean, you're not going to be taxed. You're collecting money, but it's nonprofit. You're not supposedly making profit. You know there's profit being made. Somebody's got to be doing the job required by it. But under Mike Lee, Carolyn Pippen, I should say, is an outreach specialist casework focusing on Federal Reserve data and what U.S. nonprofit organizations actually have in their coffers when they want you to believe we're nonprofit.
The Federal Reserve has revealed that U.S. NGOs have more in assets than the combined 2025 GDP estimates for Japan, Germany, and India combined. India and Japan's GDP each just over $4 trillion, Germany $5 trillion, about $13.5 trillion together. Guess what? The combined assets held by U.S. NGOs equals $14.2 trillion of your tax money and that of your children and grandchildren and great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Ever wonder why everything is so absolutely unaffordable today? It's not actually rocket science. Government has forgotten the fundamental reasons for which it was formed, to serve and protect our civil liberties. It has inverted the entire formula and decided that we are the ones here to serve, to work, and through our individual labors to support their desires and the behemoth of a bureaucracy that has emanated from those desires.
And we're trying our best to tear it down, undermine it. Look at the state of California for a moment. I know you don't want to look to the west like that, but let's do it for a moment. California motorists who already pay more at the pump are going to pay even more. You know why? Because Wednesday, another gas tax increase will take effect in the state of California. Another 2.2 cents per gallon. That would make the state excise tax in California 63.4 cents for every gallon you buy. And out there in California, they're ringing, well, look what Trump has done to our economy and our oil and our gas at the pump is just unbelievable. Steve Hilton, who's running as a Republican candidate for governor, says, we keep up like this, we're going to be paying $9 a gallon in California because of state taxes. But they like to continually point out that it's all Trump's fault. Lawmakers wrote those against this tax hike going into effect, bringing the total surcharge to about $1.15 per gallon, by the way. By the time you add state tax and other local fees, you're paying $1.15 before you even get a drop into your tank. So those fighting against it point out that, according to the AAA, the average price of gasoline in California is currently $5.58 per gallon, the highest in the nation, and $1.65 above the national average. And keep in mind that $5.58 per gallon, $1.15 of it is for taxes in the state and local municipalities, wherever they're exercising it. Pay attention. Pay attention. And for those who that you hear out there complaining that it's all Trump's fault, say, no. Tell me why California gas tax is so high. Let them see if they can come up with an answer other than blame it on the orange man. Supreme Court ruling today backed Trump's ability to have control of the executive branch, that he can fire independent agency officials, which I always thought he should be able to. If he doesn't like someone serving in a particular agency, he has the authority to fire them. Well, they've relied on in the past, I think all the way back to 1915. Let me double check my dates here because I want to be sure I'm with you. Yeah, I think it's 1935. I was wrong. A 1935 landmark precedent that had underpinned the modern regulatory framework since that date. Well, the Supreme Court today gave Trump a sweeping victory, saying Congress cannot shield the heads of independent regulatory agencies if the president wants them out. 6-3 decision. 6-3. Well, you know who was obviously against it. You can name those three very quickly. And the Supreme Court also ruled that state laws allowing for counting of mail-in ballots after Election Day do not violate federal law. Now, that's a blow to the Trump administration, Republican National Committee, and our election process. It opens it up for more fraud. This was a 5-4 ruling. And Justice Barrett wrote the majority, joined by Chief Justice John Roberts and those other three, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. Is she a woman or does she know? Never mind. I got off track again. Justice Alito filed a dissenting opinion, joined by Justices Thomas and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. The court concludes the Election Day statutes require that each individual cast a vote on or before Election Day. But they're saying, oh, you can send in your ballots weeks after, and claim you did it on Election Day, but you sent it in late. That's to opening up fraud. You do know that. We have a big case still to be decided tomorrow, and tomorrow should be the final release of cases from the High Court. And one of them has to do with birthright citizenship, anchor babies, as you might call them. Jus Soleil, born on soil. There are 33 nations worldwide that offer unconditional birthright, Jus Soleil, granting automatic citizenship to anyone born within their national borders, regardless of their parent status. Majority of these are in the Western Hemisphere. Not just America, you got Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, and Jamaica. But the point is, we're being used as a drop-off place for pregnant women to have their baby. They get a U.S. citizenship for their baby, and they leave and go back to their country, only to return in the future with that child now grown up as a U.S. citizen. I've got Hans von Spakovsky with the American Principles Freedom Foundation joining me, scheduled for tomorrow, because I think this ruling will be out by before we get to the air, obviously. It should be issued along with any other rulings hanging. But this is the big one still on the case. Birthright citizenship. We'll be discussing that. And as you know, we have a lot of haters in our nation. They claim they hate our nation. Even those who live, even those who were born here, hate our nation. And yet so many others are wanting to come to our nation. And we're watching what's happening with the World Cup and how folks have been coming in and recognizing America is pretty damn good. Not what I've been hearing. I want you to hear what one American reporter said regarding the upcoming match Wednesday between the USA and Bosnia.
Okay, the next round, Team USA will play Bosnia next Wednesday. And one thing about Bosnia, I could not point out where it is on a map. I don't know the first thing about Bosnia, and I don't want to know. That's because Team USA, we're back, we're better than ever. That's next Wednesday. Get prepared, Bosnia, because you don't want it. You don't want it like that. But you're going to get it. That's next Wednesday. For now, reporting live in Long Beach, Abigail Menez, ABC 7.
All right, well, we have a Bosnian community in this region. Very strong. Very strong work ethic among the Bosnians. But yeah, USA versus Bosnia, I'm going to be pulling for the USA. But I want to be careful that when you're competing against someone, you don't demonize them. You don't demonize the opponent. Be it all USA sports teams or, in this case, international teams. In the meantime, we have leftists, communists, Marxists, ruling the Democrat Party, and the base Democrats are living in fear. They're living in fear. But others, you know, best way to get around the fear is to pander to the far left, even if not based on facts. Minnesota Mayor Fry.
Through the most difficult of times and through Operation Metro Surge, we all saw that they tried to come for some of us. And when that happens, we say that you're coming for all of us. In Minneapolis, we love our neighbors. In Minneapolis, we do not see you as immigrants. We see you as our family. Wa'alaya. Wa'alaya. You're our brothers. You are our sisters. You have done so much for this incredible city, and for that, stand with you.
You know, actually, I might have mispronounced his name. I always forget if it's Fry or Free. Actually, I could care less. He is a member of the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party. What does that tell you? The Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party. Elected the mayor of Minneapolis in 2017, reelected 2021, 2025. Born in Arlington County, Virginia, born in the USA, but he says when they come for us and they come for you, talking about the illegals in our country, you're coming for all of us. No, they're not. They're not coming for Americans. You're pandering. You're sucking up, saying, I'll be there with you. I'll go with you. You are so far from those folks, and many of them are far from you because they do want to be here. Maybe they're here illegally, but they're not doing any harm. They're just trying to earn more money and take care of their family. And I can appreciate that. But again, we do have legal immigration. And illegal defeats that very word. But so many in this country now, and you look at how Mondami stepped up and got all these Marxist communist candidates, two of them going into Congress. He got them into position to win. They'll win the primary. Obviously, they're going to win. And there's talk about how far could this spread among other states. Very likely it could. And there are those out there saying, you know, the other thing we need to do with this country, we need to take away that it's one nation under God. We should not say that anymore. We need to get rid of that. President Trump.
With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible, right? All things. That's why as we prepared to enter the 250th year last month, tens of thousands of patriots came together on our National Mall, and we officially rededicated America as one nation under God. And we're not changing. We're not changing. And we always have been, and we always will be. We're not going to let them take it away.
No, we're not going to let them take it away. Just not going to. But they're going to continue to try. And, of course, we end our program every night with that statement. And I do it because I want to reinforce. I don't care what our differences are, be it religion, gender, there are only two, color, race, ethnicity, it all comes down to we are one nation. Under God. 250 plus years ago now, approaching 250, that they set this nation, this republic, in motion. We preserved it. We got to fight off the animals who want to tear it apart. So remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.